T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keefe every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. And joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is NFL Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. Michael is brought to you by Fairview Millwork, your Anderson Windows dealers, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and by Zuti. Build and your apps, any apps your company needs fast, visit Zuti.com for details. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Man, what's up, guys? How are you guys?
Doing
good.
Great.
Where are you?
We were following you on Twitter last night, as we do all the time. You like you some Nick Chubb, don't you?
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Dog, listen. I know we talk about everybody in Cleveland, but Nick Chubb, and I don't understand it. That dude, man, oh, yeah, man, that's the key. Now, Cleveland, that way, if Cleveland finds the identity of their offense and allow it to be that, where they run to set up the passing game, then they got a shot. They got a shot, and, you know, and then you put, but when you got a first pick in Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, you have all of that talent, and then you have a new coach in a league that's passing. He wants to make his mark by what? Passing. He didn't get the job to come in here and run the football. Everybody wants to see what can you do with our number one pick in the NFL draft and Baker Mayfield. But if they can just turn over the control to Chubb and then everybody else eat the crumbs that he leaves, when the run stops, then we'll pass. I'm telling you, they can get to a place.
Michael, last time we talked to you, Cam Newton hadn't played a game yet for the Patriots. You got a chance to see him on Sunday against Miami. What did you think?
I thought what a great job again Belichick has done putting this together. Say what you will, putting it all together. And I did say this too, guys. I mean, that's a great game. Great game for Cam. I was so happy to see him have success because, I mean, you've seen the post. And you can imagine, we look at athletes and we just think about the physical skill set. But let's take it emotionally. What do you think Cam must have been when he's given what he's given to Carolina? That's a hard job by trade. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Kyler Murray. He's not one of those little people that take those little small steps and get around everybody. He's a big dude that runs over everybody. So he's paid a price for what he's given to Carolina, and then they get rid of him. And then he comes to New England, and his Instagram post, nobody believe, I'm going to make you believe, don't worry, you gave up on me, you believe. And they believe in him, and then they made him a captain. I said on the pregame show, I said, oh, my God, Cam will run through a wall tonight for this team. They done made him captain. That means somebody signaling, I believe in you, regardless, don't worry about what everybody else said, we believe in you. And he said it. He said, man, I'll do everything I can to make sure these guys don't let these guys down after they made him the captain. So I knew he would have that kind of game. I knew, especially the first game. Now, let me just cool y'all heels a little bit.
You're on a heater. Come on.
Because nobody had really been tackling anybody. Nobody's really been tackling anybody, so you can really take advantage of it in the first game. Now, this week, he's going to have to use a little bit more of his arm also to win this football game.
Now, Michael, Cam has come in and done, as far as we in the media and fans alike, and some of us happen to be a little bit of both, done absolutely everything right. Like you said, he's been named a captain. He's a team leader. His teammates love him. He's given them all affectionate nicknames. He's picking a guy like N'Keal Harry up after he has a bad fumble last week in the press this week, saying that it was only one little mistake and he'd support him. And, you know, N'Keal Harry says he's like a brother. So if you're the Patriots, I know it's early. It's only one game in and he's going to have to still prove a few things on the road at home. But would you go out of your way to maybe talk to him or even consider extending him early on because you know you got a good thing going?
Wait a minute. Wait. You got one game in. Everybody. Yo, slow this down. Absolutely not. No. Not right now. Absolutely not. Now, I hope and pray that ultimately that is the result by which we get that something like that happens for Cam. Because that kind of structure for Cam on that kind of team, I think will be great. But now you're asking me as a GM, not as a player, because as a player, I want everybody to get all in. I'll be like, yeah, go ahead and take the deal. You know, that'd be a great deal. You get them early, you get them signed up for a little while, get them signed up long term. But as a GM, no. I want to see more than one game.
We're talking to NFL Hall of Fame wide receiver and NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. Bill Belichick earlier this week, speaking of Russell Wilson, said, I'm not sure there's anybody better than him in the entire league. And I don't think it was hyperbole. I think Belichick was professing real admiration for what he brings to the table.
Dude, you got my stuff tapped, man? You got my phone tapped? I swear to you, in front of God himself, on all my kids, before I called you, I was talking to my producer, and I was putting together Sunday's show. You know, when I'm telling them this is what I want to see, this is how I see this, get me this B-roll for this, that kind of stuff. I promise you, I spent the exact same verbatim verbiage that you just gave about Bill Belichick talking about Russ Wilson. I said, this is not hyperbole. This is for real. This is for real. When he says it, you know it. Because think about why. Why? No, let's talk about the root, not just the fruit. The fruit is what he said, but why is he saying it? Why? That's the root. That's why we get the fruit. The root. Let's get to the root of this. Look at it. It's exactly what Belichick wants. Belichick wants Tom Brady brain, but Cam Newton's running. Tom Brady brain of a quarterback, but Cam Newton's ability to run. And Russell Wilson gives you that. Now, he's not going to run exactly like Cam, because Cam's the big guy that's going to run you over and just power you. But Russell Wilson would hurt you with the running and then make sure he doesn't take the hit. That's what makes him so dangerous.
If you had to win just one game right now this season, what quarterback would you pick? Would you take?
What do you mean now? You talking about in the whole NFL?
Yes.
I always answer that question this way now. I you know what? Right now, you give me one game I got to win. You said pick one quarterback.
Yep.
And then now there's some variables in there. I need to know these variables because if I get one game and I get one quarterback, and he can get whatever group, or he can take his. I will still take Tom Brady if Tom Brady can operate in his system. In the system that he operated in New England for all these years, I'm still taking Tom Brady. But if Tom Brady is not operating in his system, I'll probably have to go Patrick Mahomes.
Interesting.
You'd take Patrick. Wow.
Interesting. Okay.
But I'll take Tom right now, one place. If Tom is in Tampa with that talent operating his system, everybody knows his system, I would take Tom right now.
So, Michael, is it a mistake that they are making Tom kind of change offenses and not changing the offense for Tom down there?
I think so. I've always said, if I'm going to get a quarterback that's been in the league for 20 years, and has had that kind of success for 20 years in the league, why am I peeling him away from what he's had success in? That would be what I would do. Why am I peeling away? This is the same issue. Remember that Peyton Manning had over in Denver with Kubiak and those guys, and they had to come up with it. Remember, they were trying to put Peyton under center and he was like he couldn't. He had a feat to get back from all that pass rush. He didn't have the quickness to get back. And they had to amalgamize it, come up with a short shotgun so he could still hand the ball off so they could still come up with a great run game that Kubiak always came up with, but also give Peyton an opportunity to work his pass game. He brought Peyton over after all of those years, and he brought over the system so he can help it. That's why Peyton, even when Peyton didn't score a lot of touchdowns in that year they won the Super Bowl, he was still able to get them in good plays to keep them from making bad plays because his system had worked. So, yeah, I'm just saying it's that important.
That's right. It was offensive genius, or so some have dubbed him. Adam Gase, who took the Tom Moore offense with Peyton from Indianapolis, mixed it with that zone and stretch run scheme, and that's what works so well in Denver. And it's been a bit of a surprise that Arians is making Brady come to him more. Mike, I want to ask you, did you ever have a time in your career where your coach called you out and called you out so quickly like Arians did Brady this past Sunday? I think a lot of us, be they longtime Brady fans, Pats fans, media, all alike, thought that was a bit of a surprise. Do you think he'll respond well to that? Because Belichick, and all the times that we heard about them being frustrated up here, Belichick never singled Brady out publicly like that.
And listen, I want to get my stuff checked. Y'all got me. You're checking me. I'm telling you, man, that's the exact same thing I just said, too. We had that same conversation. I'm not lying to you. I promise you, you are doing my show right here. I was like, wait a minute. Let me get this right. So we heard that there was issues because he was calling him out privately in front of the team. So there was issues. So he leaves, and you think that, hey, you know, it's okay. I can call him out publicly in front of strangers. Wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't equate to me. He'll respond because that's what he does in tough times. Tom, he responds. He responds. But I'm not saying he's responding because he's being called out publicly, because you can make that mistake and cause a real – storm. You see what I'm saying? You can call it a real storm. The answer in which he answered it should tell you something. You know, when they asked Tom about it, he said, hey, he's the coach. I'm the player. I just want to get a win. You know, it's like, it wasn't, hey, man, no, you know, hey, Bruce is Bruce. Hey, we've had plenty of conversations. I understand Bruce is Bruce. It's all good. I'm no problem. He didn't answer that way. That's the way we would answer it if it really wasn't a problem. We would defuse it. Well, Tom's a brilliant man. He knows. So yeah, no, I don't think he was okay with it. I think he will respond because he will respond, but I don't think he was okay with it. And you can't convince me he is, period.
Based on what we saw last Sunday in New Orleans, we thought Tom Brady probably outplayed Drew Brees. But I got to tell you, Michael, Rob Gronkowski didn't look like Rob Gronkowski, did he?
No, he did not. He looked like... Yeah, he did not at all, man. And that's what happens, especially outside our two receivers. Or something. It's just it really does. It cliff dives. The ability sometimes just cliff dives. You're like, oh my God, what was that? And especially, you know, man, when you are away, and then you come back to the game, you realize how fast it is, how quick it is. And how, first time I went back and I was just broadcasting, I was like, oh my God, who played this game? I know I wasn't playing this game. That ball was zooming by me like, zoom. I said, oh, who caught that? Who would catch something? You know what I mean? It was amazing, the speed of it. And now you don't even play it. I wasn't going back to play it again. So I can adjust my eyes to the speed, not worried about ever the pain again. But he went back to play again. So he has to adjust his eyes and his mind to the speed and worry about the pain when he doesn't adjust well. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He did not look like Gronk at all. He did not look like Gronk. Michael. He looked like old-ass Gronk. Not the good old Gronk. There's two Gronk. There's an old-ass Gronk and good old Gronk. He looked like the old-ass Gronk, not the good old Gronk.
How do you see Patriots-Seahawks playing out on Sunday night?
I see this being a great battle. A great battle. You know what I mean? And the battle between Cam and Russell, because they're similar style. They have similar styles. and what they can do, you know, able to make plays with their legs, but also buy time to make plays with their arm. Russ, I think, is as close as you can get to playing the game shoulders up to Tom Brady, what you guys have lost and what used to be there. But there are very few people that can do what Cam does when he makes his mind up to run a ball. Those little simple one-yard runs, you know, Russ can't do that. Russ can't do that. Game winning, I get you down here on the one-yard line, Superman over the top. Did you see Cam one time? He ran a quarterback draw, and I think it was 55 when the linebackers were there. A backer didn't want to hit him.
Right.
I mean, he did not want to hit him. Did you see that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Go back. Look at the film. I don't know what play it was, but he dropped. He looked, and it was like he was saying, okay, boy, me and you, and you know what I got to do because they doubt me. That linebacker ain't want no part of it. He just said, come on, let me carry you in the end zone and let me get off this field. Russell can't do that on his greatest days. You know, it's great that he gets around when he gets down. But Cam sends a message to the rest of your team when your quarterback just ran over a linebacker. You look around like, come on, man. That's a quarterback running over a linebacker. Let's go. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? And that sends a different message.
So an epic battle Sunday night in Seattle. Michael, last question. I thought there was a voice I heard screaming out in horror and frustration last Sunday night when I believe it was Michael Gallup who blazed by Jalen Ramsey and was called for an NBA quality selling of offensive pass interference.
God.
See, I knew, you're once a Cowboy, always a Cowboy. I knew you'd have thoughts and feelings on this. How atrocious was that? And how impossible is it now to play the wide receiver position? And are your Cowboys going to come around? Because that was pathetic. That was a pathetic call.
A pathetic call. Insane. And let me give you the evidence on why. I'm not just giving it to you out of my heart. I'm telling you what my mind sees, what the reality was. And I'm going to give you that. If you look at it, and this is what people got on. First of all, you're so right. I said, Jalen Ramsey, I'm glad he's in L.A. Now, I love him. He's a great kid. I mean, I appreciate him. He's a great talent, great gifted kid, and I love him. But I'm glad he's in L.A., and he's already working on his second career. It's going to be acting, because it's going to be acting. You saw that. It's going to be acting. He's right in the right place to work on his second career, because that was a bubble-like, NBA bubble-like flop. I said, oh, my God. And go look at it, because I was studying that piece, too. And when I was studying, let me tell you how you know this play shouldn't have gotten called. When they call it the so-called push-off by Michael Gallup, look at his hand. His hand, he's pushing off, so-called pushing off, with the back of his hand. His hand was being grabbed by Jalen Ramsey because Jalen felt the inertia pulling away from him. So he was grabbing, Jalen was grabbing Michael Gallup's hand. That's why the back of his hand was on Jalen Ramsey's chest, and he's trying to snatch his hand away. You can't turn around and say, hey, Jalen, I know you're holding my hand, but I got to catch this football. Can you let it go, please, right now? Why? You can't do that. He was just trying to take his hand away, and they called that. Any man that intentionally pushes is not going to push with the back of their hand. They're going to flip it. You're going to get the palm of a push. He didn't do that. He was just trying to get his hand back. And I can't believe they called that call right there in that moment. And Jalen Ramsey sure helped him with that NBA flop. But that was a horrible call. And that's not my heart talking. That's the game. Don't kill the game with that. Because these guys, they're going to be grabbing all game. That's what they do. And Jalen will take the pass interference because he had already ran by him. He had ran by him. He had to grab him. The ref fell for that.
Under these conditions today, you would get 10 OPI calls a game.
I wouldn't be in the league. They would be like, no, we can't play that kid. We can't play him. I would not be in the league. That's what we said, man. We'd love to play now. No, this would be an issue. I can't run away from you, so I'm not trying to get separation until the ball is almost right to on me. And so we're going to be doing some shoving and pushing and boxing out. You know what I mean? I won't extend, but this flipper, gonna flip you a couple times during the game. I would be out the league, buddy.
Michael, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Man, it's always great. Listen, long as we talking football, it's good.
That's right.
That's right.
And we didn't have anyway. Listen, it wasn't no bad football. Some spots, people, all the new spots, new people, even Tom, new coaches, situation. It looked bumpy, but it was pretty good football for week one, coming off the off season and no preseason. That what we've experienced. It was a pretty good football.
Yeah,
not bad.
I agree.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks,
Michael.
All right, buddy.
Take care,
right. Mike.
That is NFL Hall of Fame wide receiver, NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. I get such a kick out of talking to him every week, but he's just honest.
If you search in Twitter, Gallup Ramsey, there's a lot of clips of the play or whatever, but there's actually more pictures of Marcus Smart than anything else.
Better be Jay Crowder now.
That's all it could be, but all it is Marcus Smart. Like, here's Jalen Ramsey, and it's all photos of Marcus Smart.
I was shocked he didn't outright say he knew it was an OPI because he did it every game of his career.
Yeah.
He couldn't play in the league.
But to be fair, I mean, the defenses were also much more physical then. They were allowed to be. So they would just get away with it. They'd be killing each other on the outside.
Oh, you mean when football was like a real man's sport? What Kyle Rudolph did last year in the playoffs, that's okay, but one little like twisting of the arm, that's not okay. And that, I want to know is like what's pass interference and what's a catch. Am I asking too much?
You are asking way too much, because for years we have not been able to define that. But how about Michael Irvin saying he would take right now still Tom Brady over any other quarterback to win a game? Now, he says with the caveat, and I think this is fair, because I mean, put him in the perfect situation so you could surround them with the right talent that you want.
65 degrees, no nightshades.
Drew Brees is in a dome and everyone has to leave. Doesn't have to see the sun. And he just still goes Tom Brady over Mahomes. Mahomes and Wilson, to me, would be the two guys, because they've even proven it. Because like, there were times where there might be a more talented quarterback, but you could say, all right, well, when the games were the most important, what happened? Well, Wilson and Mahomes both have Super Bowls under their belt.
Mm-hmm.
Not as many, but we're talking about right now. I'd take both those guys over Brady.
And Dale, it sounded to me like he didn't go so far as to make a pick, but it sounded like he was kind of leaning pats.
You think he's going to be close?
Close.
Okay.
Well, close. He's not Optimus Prime, but yeah, it's as close as we're going to get. Now, I don't know about you, Rich, but I have spent most of my week concerned about the health and welfare of Fitzy's kids, and we're going to find out.
Yeah, I just found out, Dale,
that
I have
to. College fund is left.
College fund? I just found out from Little League that I have to go out. I got to go out and buy my kid a bat and a helmet now because we can't share bats and helmets in Little League. Thanks, 2020. So, Shime, if my kid gets a dinger and goes out Conigliaro style next week in his Little League game, it's going to be because of you.
Sounds good.
That's a lot of good play.
I got a hand me down if he wants it.
We're going to light a match to Fitzy's money, better known as our Friday football picks, Dale and Keefe with Fitzy. It's time to trend.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI. Need winners?
Yes.
Chris Shimes got him.
We got kind of screwed with the Cincinnati game.
You lost. You lost, Shimes.
Clipping it over 60%.
Russian table tennis, Australian rules football, New Zealand rugby.
Chris Shimes is putting money in your pocket.
You lit a match to half a unit. You're not getting that back.
Guaranteeing at least one winner a week.
I will be wagering on all of Shimes' NFL picks.
Oh, but don't hold him to that.
This is my 8th straight winning season.
It's time for Free Money Friday on Dale and Keith.
Fitzy, how you feeling about life right now, my friend?
Oh, sorry. Couldn't hear you from the poorhouse. We had bad reception, Dale.
Fitzy, it's only week one, man.
So if you're just joining us, here's the deal. Shime has been giving us his picks every week. And quite honestly, when there were no sports, he was killing it.
Yes.
The difference now is that Fitzy's actually betting Shime's picks.
He sure is.
Yep.
Yes, he is.
I don't know who talked him into this.
Well, who talked me into it? Shime.
Shime did. Shime was hitting at such a record, it felt like you'd be stupid not to get involved with this somehow. More money on a Friday.
If he's at a 60% rate, Dale, for every five bets, he wins three and loses two. So that's positive one. That's plus
you're
one.
Making
plus
money.
So we should be making
and he gives you four
units.
Picks a weekend, every single weekend. Now that football's back, usually four football picks. Do we have a recap of how things went last week? Or we already
did
that
on
Monday.
Monday.
And so you did. Oh, and one of the games was a Monday game. So Shine, just to refresh the audience, what did Fitzy do on this weekend? Last
we went a nice solid 0-3-1.
Had that push.
Got screwed in two of the games. But
screwed.
0-3-1.
So not your fault.
You know who else did? My kids who walked to school barefoot.
So you're down a unit and a half.
That is correct.
Okay. Yep. All right, well, get back on that horse. Hey, you get back
Fitzy,
on that horse.
I can only hope you're betting very small units.
It's none of your business, Dale. Yeah. I beg you to stand on my personal affairs.
I'll keep my units to myself. Thank you very much.
Shime, I don't know. I got to wonder. I usually ask about the confidence level, but that is normally when you're just betting your own money. This is now another man's money who has a family.
I'm aware.
Keep that in mind. Has a family.
I understand. And here's the thing. You got to understand that betting football, it's a long-term thing. Like, there's 16 weeks or 17 weeks in the season.
Jesus.
This is only week one. Plus playoffs.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, boy.
Yeah, but he did mix in a few winners early in the season.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to kill anybody.
Trust me. I would have loved to. I picked the wrong games, even on my podcast. A fat 0-3. I picked the wrong games to
Good
bet
plug
on.
Plug for the and podcast, the Winners Club right now on WBA.com.
By the way, Shime's also costing himself money because I'm going to probably tip out on this season, too. He's in on this.
Oh, jeez, Shime.
So, yeah. So, if we win, I tip out. But if we lose, it's all on my chin.
Now,
it's a very large chin.
Yes, it is. Now, I know you loved the week one slate despite the results. How are you feeling about the week two?
Week two slate is a very clean-cut slate with games that absolutely bet on and games you shouldn't even touch.
Yes.
So tell me why.
You gotta love the confidence. Uh-huh. You gotta love it.
Love it.
I feel like I'm back to my old self of being the North Star.
He is the North Star. He's shining really so bright.
It's cloudy out there for a lot of people, but I'm guiding you home.
Okay. Mm-hmm. To a new home, you're downsizing.
Can't get much smaller than the shed that I rent behind Tuca's house, Dale.
To a van down by the river.
That's fine.
Well, the first pick this week,
God.
I'm going to take my talents to South Beach.
I'm going to take my talents to South Beach.
That's pathetic.
We got the Buffalo Bills
but
traveling
to Miami.
But a good
button pushed by John that time.
Yeah, he actually hit the right one.
Credit. Yep.
We got the Buffalo Bills traveling down to Miami. Currently, Buffalo is favored by 5.5. They are laying 5.5 points against Miami. We just saw this Miami team against New England. Buffalo is going to steamroll this team. It's not even close. Matt Milano and Tremaine Edwards probably out on the defense. But honestly, Brian Fitzpatrick is going to throw up a couple ducks. The secondary is healthy. Buffalo is going to roll in this game. Give me the Bills laying 5.5 points.
What? Wait, not
That's
only
a
are
big
you
home dog.
Me,
That's a big home dog.
That's an 8.5
That's a
point
duck.
Swing. So it goes from Miami getting the home three to being
there
a 5.5 point dog with two of Buffalo's starting linebackers out.
Yeah, the starting linebackers won't matter here.
Why even play
Miami can't really run the football anyways.
Okay.
And they're going to have to throw. And we all know, we saw it last week, Fitzpatrick is going to throw up three lame ducks minimum in this game.
Oh, there it is. Now I get it.
Okay.
Those are the ducks that he's throwing.
Yeah, Keith's pea brain has finally comprehended what we're doing on the show.
Okay, John, back in your hole.
Wow.
Plus, you can obviously run. I'm trying to talk.
John's obviously mad with something else, and he brings it to work. He's obviously upset about how
and I
things
really,
are going
I
for
made
him.
A lot of Bills fans mad last week when I said Josh Allen wasn't great, even though he threw for the most yards in his career and three touchdowns.
Yeah,
I expect Josh Allen to do something similar to what Cam Newton did last week, where it's be efficient, complete a lot of passes, get some touchdowns, and actually run. He ran 14 times last week against the Jets.
Yeah.
I expect the same kind of running there and probably a rushing touchdown.
But Josh Allen, they're never out of a game or in a tough situation because of them. Now, he can put them in some tough situations, too. Well,
okay.
I don't feel good about
you gotta
win that. One
do
by
not
six.
Like that first.
You got to win that one by six. All right, what's the second pick?
All right.
So the second pick, this is a classic let-it-fly shootout. We have Atlanta and Dallas.
That's a peregrine falcon, obviously.
Is that what that was?
Fastest animal in the world, yeah.
We watched Russell Wilson absolutely shred this Atlanta Falcons defense last week.
All right.
I expect something similar, but I also expect Matt Ryan to throw for some yards. The Dallas defense isn't great either. This over has actually now gone up another point. I still love it. Over 53.5 Atlanta and the Cowboys.
Love it.
Yeah, I like that one, Fitzy. That's just points. Just rooting for
absolute
points.
Absolutely
points,
love
points,
it.
Points, points, points.
Boy, Fitzy.
That's a seagull.
What was that?
That's a seagull. It didn't really
a falcon.
It's not a falcon.
That was a falcon?
That's
what's that?
That's a whip.
Cowboy's whip?
That's a whip.
No guns. No, like, okay, like no tombstone.
No Yosemite
theme,
Sam. No, I have
rootinous tootinous.
We're not promoting that amendment.
I have a real sad whip sound that I can use.
I have a sad.
Yeah, go make sure you use that today.
Yeah, Dallas took it on the chin last week defensively. So
they
I
did.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So you like the over
Calvin
there.
Ridley.
I really like the over.
Yeah. All right.
Who's going to defend Julio on that team?
Literally no one.
Not Trayvon Diggs. No.
No, it's going to be a lot Deion of points Sanders. Scored. It's going to be like a 35-30 game. It's going to be similar to the Browns-Bengals last night.
Great.
Zero defense, a lot of offense,
there you
and
go.
That's it.
All right. Fitz is back in.
So we're 1-1 so
pick
far.
Pick three.
So my third pick of the week here is the Walking Dead pick of the week.
Okay.
Little pig, is that, little pig.
Is that Fitzy?
Let me in.
No, ooh, not Fitzy.
The Negan oh. special.
Actually, the team we're betting against because, and for some reason, I don't understand this at all. This game has now swung 2 points in the last 24 hours. The Los Angeles Rams were favored by a point against the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday.
Yeah!
I'm now That's getting a point. To pick the Rams. I'm going to take the point and pick the Rams because the Rams are undoubtedly the better team here. And the Eagles stink. They smell. I have not been a huge Carson Wentz guy at all in the preseason, ever, really.
That's a
and they are going to stink.
It's like an old man.
Now
right
we're just now. Doing ghoul sounds.
That's just an old
no,
man.
It's like these are my
well,
chances
of Walking Dead thing.
It sounds like a
the
guy.
The Eagles are the Walking up. Dead.
I would also like to remind you last week, Shime.
Would they be the Flying Dead?
These analytical terms you're using, stinking, smelling.
Yeah.
I don't know what mush you got these from in Vegas, but
they got creamed in the fourth quarter by the Washington Football Team.
That's right.
They don't have a mascot.
Beat them. They lost by 10 to Twift as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out the Eagles also gave up 8 sacks last week, and in comes maybe the biggest, baddest man in the NFL.
Aaron Donald.
Yes, that's
Shime's
right.
Shime's going with a couple of road teams, though. Mm-hmm.
Give me the Rams getting a point.
All right.
Last pick.
Not least.
Here we go.
All right. Well, we're going to go with another road team, Rich.
I don't see why not.
But
last
this guy,
week it was 8-6 so and 1, the home
here's
teams.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. This guy won me so much money last year that
let's
I can't
go back to the well.
Root against him. And I don't know why I didn't pick him last week. It was a clear-cut win, and I just didn't do it because I'm an idiot. But this week, I'm not going to be an idiot.
Okay.
I'm going to pick the Baltimore Ravens, laying 7 against the Houston Texans. Lamar Jackson is going to run all over this team. Like, the Houston Texans got shredded by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Lamar
player.
Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram, Gus Bus. They're going to run for 1,000 yards in this game
the
alone.
Gus Bus.
1,000 yards.
The Gus Bus.
Give me the Baltimore Ravens laying 7 at the Houston Texans.
At least the music fits, Keith. You got to admit this works.
No, I know. I'm more mad at Shime than I am John at this point.
7!
You're mad at me? What do you mean?
Well, it's not my money.
The
I guess
Ravens?
I shouldn't be all
that
upset.
So we're betting on the Ravens as a 7-point road favorite against the Texans.
Yes. Did you see the Texans last week against the Chiefs? They stunk. They were not good. Their defense putrid.
All right.
So, Rich,
yeah.
Will Fitzy be able to continue to do Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays with us?
Fitzy's
going
to be starting
up,
to get
when
rich
he's got
to
pick
Monday.
Up his second shift at Burger
well,
King.
Gonna say he's going to try to get Andy Hart out of here on Tuesday, Thursday. Trying to pick
I'm
up some more
to
hours
be,
here.
Like, wow, Fitzy, you're on with mud a lot this week at night. What was that all
it
about?
It makes me feel better that you guys hate my pick so much
good.
Because you liked a lot of them last week and they sucked. And this week you hate
okay,
a lot of
well,
them, so they're
right,
probably not going to suck.
It's a good opening start.
So what were they?
What were they sucked. Again?
Could you recap the week 2 picks?
Recap
here
the
for
picks.
Fitzy?
We have Buffalo laying 5.5 at Miami.
Oh.
We get the over 53.5 Atlanta Dallas. The Rams getting a point at the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wait, hold on.
What
is the sound from Evil Dead 2? That is definitely
that's from
like
Call of Duty Zombies, actually.
In your face.
Can I hear? Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
All right, ready? Anderson, get ready to play it. Hey, honey, guess what? I bet all of our discretionary funds this week on a segment with a guy named Shime at the radio station. How do you feel
Boom,
about that?
Roasted.
Oh, he stinks.
Now you stink,
John.
You stink.
Yeah!
And the last pick is the Baltimore Ravens laying 7 at the Houston Texans.
Well, Scheim, and more importantly, Fitzy, I wish you guys the best of luck. I'll be rooting for all those picks this weekend. And...
Well, in Scheim's case, the bets are more theoretical, aren't they?
No, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I lost a lot of money last week.
And then good news.
No, and then I then, I then chased the money I lost.
I lost a lot of money last week.
I lost. I then chased all the money I lost with a four-leg teaser Monday night. And the Titans screwed me again.
Yeah. Oh, so, Guskowski did.
I'd like to pull Guskowski's other leg off and beat myself over the head for thinking this segment was
a good
idea. I got
over 35. I thought, huh, easy money. Not even close.
Oh, well, I like it.
Guskowski stinks.
Yes, he does.
Stinks.
Okay. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
All right. Those are light a match to Fitzy's money picks for the week. When we come back, little did you know, Rich, as much as you hate LeBron James, and you do.
I do.
That he was a member of the Illuminati.
Oh.
That's coming up next. Okay. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we might have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Fitzy.
All right, Uncle Dale. Well, last night...
You still have clothes on?
I'll be selling everything here on Mercari, eBay, and every other secondhand auction site later on just to pay for the mortgage, the food, everything else for the kids later this week. We're going 4-0 this week. Dale, I'm not sure if you know this, but I had the privilege last night of hosting the debut of a new little Facebook program we're doing here at WEI.
I heard you talking about this with Wiggy earlier.
Yes, sir. It's called Ineligible Speakers. It's kind of a first take, pardon the interruption kind of program. Should be debuting on the socials of EEI. Later today, and one of the topics we covered in the opening rundown of the show was, do you think Tom Brady is having early pangs of regret after having been called out by his coach and losing the first game in Tampa Bay? And based on this audio, Dale, that we didn't get a chance to cover and play earlier in the show, I think the answer might be yes.
Well, how is that for you? I think there's a perception that you haven't taken a lot of criticism from your coaches before. I don't think this is something that surprised you this week, is it?
Oh, so what's the question?
Just whether you were surprised at all to hear Bruce speaking publicly about the picks and being critical of you as he was.
You know, he's a coach, so you know, I'm a player. Just trying to win a game.
He is so sad.
He is salty.
Miserable.
Dude.
Week one.
How long did it take? Like, even last year when he was like, go ask Mr. Kraft. You know, he's the owner. You know, maybe one day scratchy when I'm the owner. I can make all the decisions I want. At least there was some gleeful sarcasm. 8-5, 6 Super Bowls.
20 like, years on the team. Yeah. He's been there less than 20 weeks.
Yeah. And I mean, he's already that salty.
He is not happy.
No, not at all.
Bad.
And Michael Irvin said that earlier in the hour. He doesn't think Tom likes this at all.
No. Uh-huh. Why would you?
Why would he respond to that? Belichick knows how to coach you up. That's bad news bears from Arians right there.
What else you got?
Rich?
Well, making huge news, I believe it was last week, was Odell Beckham Jr. He was trending. We were trying to figure out why he was trending.
We found out why
he was trending. Yeah, he apparently likes a certain kind of activity in the bedroom.
Allegedly.
Well, he actually spoke about the matter.
Because you are you, comes out in the media all the time.
All the bullshit I've dealt with in my career, this was the funniest.
Were you laughing at?
My boy sent it to me. Ben sent it to me, and I seen it. It was like 7 in the morning when I was going to take my test, and I watched it, and I called him back in tears, crying. Like, I have never, ever in my life heard this one. I couldn't even believe it. I was on the field, and they were like, oh. Man, don't tell me it's true, man. Don't tell me. I'm like, dog, I've never heard this in my life. Out of all the rumors, I never could have imagined this is, like, even real.
I mean, who knows?
But did he at any point say, of course it's false?
Well, yeah, he said it was funny and he never heard of anything like this.
But he never said, exactly. Kidding me? Of course not.
Yeah, nice touchdown last night, by the way.
He did. He looked good. Yeah. I still think he would look better in Patriots color rush.
I agree.
That said, I'm no crisis manager. How does one respond to this kind of...
But you play one on radio.
Exactly. Well, more of an Optimus Prime.
I think that was the best response you could have to it. Because if it's such a ridiculous or like over the top denial, we wouldn't believe you. I think saying I laughed it off might be the best way. Now you still may not believe him, but then again, is she the most reliable? You trust Slim Danger, Dale?
No, I don't even know Slim
Danger. That's my point. So I'm like, I don't really
know. Whose story sounds more believable?
Well,
hers kind of does.
It's a highly specific lie.
Very specific.
No, that's true. That's true.
What else you got?
So there is a Twitter site called Right Wing Watch. Now, what this is a... I've never seen it until today. A Twitter feed that monitors and exposes the activities of the radical right political organizations, which is why I didn't know about it till today. But today, they came up with an audio and video of the ages. So there is a right-wing conspiracy theorist named Sheila Zielinski, who warns that LeBron James, Keith, you're going to love this, is an Illuminati wizard who's conjuring up demons before every game by tossing chalk into the air.
Is LeBron James just an athlete? Well, I believe this expose, we're going to take a little dive into what I believe is quite frightening. Now, here you're going to see this chalk ritual toss, what the sports world calls it a chalk toss, but it's simply disguised for what he's really doing, a high-level conjuring, a spell, an incantation from this Illuminati wizard where he's summoning demons. I believe he's conjuring up demons before every game. Plain and simple. Really take a look at these so-called chalk tosses. It is very frightening, this ritual that he does. I mean, putting his hands up, these Baphomet-style dragon demons appear.
That is the plot to the Space Jam remake. So,
There's video that goes along with
Take a look at that.
And it basically is just with his arms up in the air and chalk puffing up in the air above his head.
The Celtics could use a few demons on their side on
Saturday. Wouldn't mind if maybe Brad Stevens tossed a little chalk up in the air before game three.
They might all
want
to get involved there.
So how bat bleep crazy do you have to get before you think LeBron James chalk tossing is conjuring up demons like an Illuminati wizard?
He's got to be doing it for some reason. So
do you think that's it?
I don't hate it at all.
I'm in on it 100%. Thank you also, Dale, for helping me find a new podcast, new favorite, subscribing immediately.
Right Wing Watch. Get on it.
Love it. Right. Zielinski's my hero.
Fox News.
We got to get out of here. Whether Fitzy has clothes left on Monday, we'll have to see as the weekend goes on. Now, NFL Sunday is back on Sunday morning.
Yep, 9 to noon, because we have Red Sox baseball. So me, Fourier, and Wiggy starting at 9 on Sunday.
Boys, enjoy your weekend, everybody.
You too, Dale.
We'll see you next week. OMF is coming up next. Bye.
And it's been a blast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.